All right, if y'all take your seat, we'll reconvene from the lunch break. And the next item on the agenda will be item number six, report and possible discussion on water policy update. Matt Phillips, Government and Customer Relations Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I'm going to talk to you about a couple of things, the Water Master and also the implementation of House Bill 4, which was part of Proposition 6. We can go to the next slide. As many of you already know, TCEQ has approved the creation of a Water Master program in the Brazos Basin. They did so earlier this month. The proposal for decision that TCEQ was looking at the time that they approved it, actually had a Water Master for the entirety of the Brazos River Basin from New Mexico all the way down to the Gulf. We supported that, the idea that the Water Master needed to cover the whole basin. We were neutral on the idea of its creation, but we said that if one was created, it needed to cover the entire basin. The executive director recommended a partial basin Water Master, which covered Possum Kingdom down to Freeport and all the water rights therein. And ultimately, the commission voted in favor of creating that partial basin Water Master. Some of the folks in the upper part of the basin, particularly the Abilene-Lubbock area, argued successfully that they shouldn't be included in the Water Master.
And
the commission went along with them. And that was essentially their argument, that there's not enough water up there to police, and you know the basin's flashy. You either have flash floods or no water, and the commission agreed with that. So in terms of timeline and where we are now, it's been approved, but the process of creating it will take some time. TSEC staff anticipated, they said 12 to 18 months, 15 to 18 months, somewhere around there. There's going to be a rulemaking process that dictates how the Water Master will operate, and also sets fees for what water right holders will pay. As a major water right holder in the basin, we anticipate we will be involved in that process. Most, if not all, Water Masters. Sorry. Yes, sir.
Is Water Master an individual, or is it like an agency?
It's both, but there is a Water Master. There is a person who holds that actual title, but okay. he or she will have staff of many, many people that carry out the role, and it's basically an arm of TCEQ.
Okay, thanks.
And how does he get his job? He's appointed?
Hired by TCEQ, I believe, is how that works. The executive director would hire that person. There will be a stakeholder committee of major water right holders that is part of this rulemaking process. We anticipate that we'll be part of that again, since we have about a third of the rights.
Yeah,
but there are 1,500 water right holders in the Brazos, so it's going to be a pretty big deal. There's never been a Water Master of a basin this size with this many water right holders. So a lot of the questions that we get from media outlets and otherwise, since it's been approved, are, is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? How's it going to do this? And most of the answers are, we don't know. We don't know yet exactly how it's going to operate. We know generally what its job is. We don't know how it's going to operate. Now, as far as what we'll see in it, we could have budget and rate making implications as early as FY 2015. As you'll remember, water right holders fund the Water Master, and obviously we will be asked to pay for a portion of that program, and we will pass that cost along to our customers. So we will be seeing that in our budget and rate making as early as FY 2015. So look forward to that. And then, in addition to Water Master, I want to talk a little bit about House Bill 4 prioritization. If you remember Proposition 6 that came out of last session, which was a state water funding proposition, set aside $2 billion from the state's rainy day fund to go toward funding water projects. In addition to Proposition 6, there was also enabling legislation called House Bill 4. If you'll remember, it reorganized the Water Development Board, made them 3 full-time instead of 6 part-time. Additionally, it had the means and the measures by which Proposition 6 and the water funding will be implemented. As I told y'all several times, it was a big deal that Proposition 6 passed, and it was great, but the tough part was going to be actually implementing Proposition 6 and how you pick winners and losers in terms of who gets funding. And that's actually happening at 2 different levels. It's happening at the regional level for the 16 regions. Each of the 16 regions is going to be required to prioritize their past regional plan, which would be the 2011 plan, and then also prioritize the 2016 plan. So of all the projects they have in the plan, they've got to pick which one to them is the most important and which one's the least. So again, they're picking winners and losers, and their role it has changed. Instead of just saying everybody is welcome into the plan, everybody come on in, they're actually picking who might and who might not get funding. So it's going to take on a much more serious role in terms of the regional water planning groups. There, you know, obviously we participate in regions O, G, and H to the greatest extent in G and H, because that's where most of our customers are. How the regions go about this prioritization is going to vary in complexity. And the main reason for that is some regions have 12 projects to prioritize, and some regions like Region H have 400 to prioritize. So it's gonna vary in terms of how they're able to do it. And so we'll just have to see how it plays out. And again, they've also got to prioritize the 2016 plans whenever they're working on those, which they're in the process of doing now. You can go to the next slide. These are the things that they're looking at. These were developed by a committee of all the regional water planning group chairs, so 16 members, and they basically came out with these five things that they'll look at for each project, and they'll rank each project based on these. So decade of need, feasibility, viability, sustainability, and cost effectiveness. Go to the next slide. And then above that, once the regions have ranked their projects, and then that'll go to the Water Development Board, and they'll start competing for funding, the Water Development Board has to have a way to rank projects statewide across all the regions, because there's no way that $2 billion will fund all the projects. It's not even possible. So they've got to figure out how they pick and choose between those, and House Bill 4 requires them to adopt rules to do that. The Water Development Board's been doing a statewide tour. They've held multiple meetings both in Austin and other places throughout the state, North Texas, West Texas, South Texas, and the coast, to receive input from the public and water rights holders on how they think the rules should look and how they think they should prioritize things. They're going to give the highest consideration to these four things, but there's also, you know, a lot more devil in the details in terms of what those will look like when they actually develop their rules. And that's a process that's ongoing. Additionally, the House Bill 4 rules for the Water Development Board also have set-asides for rural projects and conservation projects. So they've got to develop definitions of what qualifies for each one of those, and that's something that they'll be working on the next couple of months. Go to the next slide. These are the important dates as far as the two processes. June 1st is when all of the 16 regions have to have their prioritized 2011 plan, a draft of it, to the Water Development Board. Sometime in June 2014, the Water Development Board will release its draft rules for the statewide rules. In September, that's when the final 2011 prioritization from the regions is due. And then in December, TWDB expects to adopt the statewide prioritization rules. We will likely, there's a very good chance we'll comment on the statewide rules once they're released in June and we see a draft and figure out if we have anything to say in terms of how our projects fit in to that process and how they might be better candidates for funding. So we may be commenting on that whenever they come out. And I think that's all I've got. Happy to answer any questions.
And have they finished selecting all the Texas Water Development Board staff?
Say again, I'm sorry. Yes, those have all been filled. It's Carlos Rubenstein, who was formerly a TCEQ commissioner. Beck Brune, I don't know what he used to do. You have to help me. Kathleen, I forget her name. They just appointed a lady from Beaumont, and I don't remember her last name.
She used to be the PR person for Exxon, mm-hmm. and she was on the
Lavaca Navidad River Authority Board.
How about the new, if you can comment maybe on our future governor, how any comments about water and those issues with regard to his administration? I didn't mean to assume.
You know, honestly, it hasn't been a hot campaign topic, which is odd. It really just hasn't been. I think everybody's comment on that is we need to build more water projects. And they all say, both sides of, you know, each party says the same thing. Nobody really has a whole lot of specifics.
Nobody don't give you any money.
Everybody claims victory for House Bill 4 and Proposition 6. That was a child that had many fathers and mothers. Everybody, you know, claims that was all theirs. But you know, it's not been as hot of a campaign topic as it probably should be. And quite frankly, you know, given the drought and given that, you know, there are folks who don't want us to use the water supplies we currently have, you know, we definitely probably need to start developing new ones really, really quickly. So it makes things like Allen's Creek need to move forward, which Allen's Creek is a prime candidate for state funding. I mean, if you look at those parameters that they're going to have to look at, decade of need, you know, permitting, you know, how far is the project in the permitting process, all that kind of thing. I mean, we think it's it would be a great candidate for that funding if we can ever get to the point where we could request it.
If you look at Region H and all of the population growth that we expect to see in the Harris County, Fort Bend, Brazoria County areas, and you look at the prioritization of where Region H has our Allen's Creek project, is there any hope that we could get it to move up?
We do hope so. Right now, the one thing, and there's one reason for that, and that's the city of Houston. And I would say that with them in the room as well. I mean, they don't need the project as badly or as soon as we do, and because of that, it receives a ranking that's lower than it probably should. So
I should have been on Region H like I used to be.
Our goal in working with Houston or talking with Houston is to try to do whatever we need to do to move that ranking up. So that, you know, because again, our position is we would like to build it much sooner, which to us would elevate the decade of need and when we could start actually building.
How much of Houston's metropolitan area is within the BRA?
Very little.
Very little?
Very little.
Yeah, I thought so.
Most, matter of fact, I can say this pretty unequivocally, the needs for Allen's Creek are in our basin, mm-hmm. not in Houston. Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at budget formation and revenue sources, and I saw a reference to a specific amount that was referred to as LCRA water.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
So, and I will obviously, I'm going to make David come up here at some point, but back in 1997, legislation was passed, House Bill 1437, which allowed the LCRA to... which allowed the 25,000 acre feet of water from LCRA's basin to be sold in our basin. At the time, the BRA didn't have the water to supply to some of the Williamson County customers, and BRA ended up selling LCRA water in our basin to Round Rock. At the time, it was Round Rock, Georgetown, Brushy. There were multiple customers. Now it's mainly Round Rock that has that 1437 water. But that's what it is. It was a legislatively authorized interbasin transfer.
And here's a late developing issue on this. So there's always one more.
As a as Georgetown, I don't know if you've read City of Georgetown is trying to do a deal with Chisholm Trail Municipal Utility District, and part of the solution for Georgetown taking over Chisholm Trail is to buy more of that LCRA water from us. And the question they've posed to us, they've requested that they buy that water at system rate, which is would BRA would be subsidizing that water. Our position in the past and it has been that is not necessarily water that we're going to bill for at system rate. We make those customers pay for it what LCRA charges us. There is a contract. Round Rock does have one old contract that we do subsidize, but the new contract they signed just a few years ago, they pay full freight for that water.
But we're going to be in a little contest.
But they'll definitely be a bunch of healthy fund discussions to determine what the right rate for that water is going to be.
Kathleen Jackson. I'm going to credit Mike McClendon with the assist. Kathleen Jackson is the third member of the Water Development Board.
Any more questions for Matt? Not. Thank you, Matt.